Lest We Forget, Volume 9, Number 2, A Most Precious Message and Its Messengers. With this issue, we continue the collection of Ellen White's statements characterizing the special work of A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagner as messengers. This section will conclude in the next issue, to be followed by an issue on the message. All page number references are from the Ellen G. White 1888 materials, unless otherwise noted. March 9, 1890, in a sermon, page 608. If we place ourselves in a position that we will not recognize the light God sends or His messages to us, then we are in danger of sinning against the Holy Ghost. Then for us to turn and see if we can find some little thing that is done that we can hang some of our doubts upon and begin to question. The question is, has God sent truth? Has God raised up these men to proclaim the truth? I say yes. God has sent men to bring us the truth that we should not have had unless God had sent somebody to bring it to us. God has let me have a light of what His Spirit is, and therefore I accept it, and I no more dare to lift my hand against these persons, because it would be against Jesus Christ, who is to be recognized in His messengers. March 10, 1890 to W.C. White and Wife, page 623. Since I made the statement last Sabbath that the view of the covenants as it has been taught by Brother Wagner was truth, it seems that great relief has come to many minds. May 27, 1890, in the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald article, Living Channels of Light, found on page 673. Those whom God has sent with a message are only men, but what is the character of the message which they bear? Will you dare to turn from or make light of the warnings because God did not consult you as to what would be preferred? God calls men who will speak, who will cry aloud and spare not. God has raised up His messengers to do His work for this time. Some have turned from the message of the righteousness of Christ to criticize the men and their imperfections because they do not speak the message of truth with all the grace and polish desirable. They have too much zeal, are too much in earnest, speak with too much positiveness, and the message that would bring healing and life and comfort to many weary and oppressed souls is in a measure excluded, for just in proportion as men of influence close their own hearts and set up their own wills in opposition to what God has said, will they seek to take away the ray of light from those who have been longing and praying for light and for vivifying power. Christ has registered all the hard, proud, sneering speeches spoken against His servants as against Himself. August 27, 1890 to O. A. Olson, page 703. Dear Brother Olson, the enclosed testimony I sent to the Ohio Conference especially, but the Lord has shown me that the very same evils which are reproved in that conference exist in other conferences. Churches are in need of personal piety and a deeper, far deeper experience in the truth and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The spirit of resistance that has been exhibited in presenting the righteousness of Christ as our only hope has grieved the Spirit of God, and the result of this opposition has required the delivery of this matter the more earnestly and decidedly, causing deeper searching into the subject and calling out an array of arguments that the messenger himself did not know was so firm, so full, so thorough upon this subject of justification by faith and the righteousness of Christ as our only hope. The subject has been brought before many minds. The sad part of the matter is that some who ought to have stood in the clear light on this subject were working on the enemy's side of the question. December 23, 1890, published in the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald article, Be Zealous and Repent, found on page 7:65. The Lord has sent a message to arouse His people to repent and do their first work. But how has His message been received? While some have heeded it, others have cast contempt and reproach on the message and the messenger. Spirituality deadened, humility and childlike simplicity gone, a mechanical, formal profession of faith has taken the place of love and devotion. Is this mournful condition of things to continue? Is the lamp of God's love to go out in darkness? The Savior calls, listen to His voice, be zealous and repent. Repent, confess your sins, and you will be forgiven. Turn ye, for why will ye die? Why will you try to rekindle a mere fitful fire and walk in the sparks of your own kindling? 1890 in Manuscript, Light in God's Word, found on page 831. We have seen in our experience that when the Lord sends rays of light from the open door of the sanctuary to His people, Satan stirs up the minds of many. But the end is not yet. There will be those who will resist the light and crowd down those whom God has made His channels to communicate light. Spiritual things are not spiritually discerned. The watchmen have not kept pace with the opening providence of God, and the real heaven-sent message and messengers are scorned. January 6, 1891, to Uriah Smith, page 846. Dear Brother Smith, since your visit and our conversation, I decided to place this in your hands to read yourself, and if necessary, I may read it before a select number. I have a copy of the same. After I was so greatly burdened the Tuesday night, the same night I returned from Washington, I felt that I must trace upon paper my true feelings and the things which the Lord revealed to me. You may desire to know these things. When you visited me yesterday, January 5, and proposed such a meeting to take place, I was glad because I thought that will result in good. But when you stated that you had not had feelings against Elder Wagner and Elder A.T. Jones, I was surprised. Perhaps you thought thus, but how could you think thus is a mystery to me. The feelings cherished by yourself and Elder Butler were not only despising the message, but the messengers. But the blindness of mind has come by warring against the light which the Lord designed to come to His people. March 24, 1891, in an article, Our Present Dangers, found on page 904. In the revival work that has been going forward here during the past winter, we have seen no fanaticism. But I will tell you what I have seen. I have seen men who were so lifted up in themselves and so stubborn that their hearts were enshrouded in darkness. All the light that heaven graciously sent them is interpreted to be darkness. When the enemy presents a device of his own, some are ready to accept that. But they have been so very cautious that they would not receive the light which would have made them wise unto salvation. The mission of God's servants was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. The bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, if received, would have illuminated the soul temple and driven out the buyers and sellers, the pride of opinion, and the lust of the flesh. But there are some who have criticized and depreciated and even stooped to ridicule the messengers through whom the Lord has wrought in power. March 1891, in an article read at the General Conference of 1891, pages 911 and 913. In the fear and love of God, I tell those before whom I stand today that there is increased light for us, and that great blessings come with the reception of this light. And when I see my brethren stirred with anger against God's messages and messengers, I think of similar scenes in the life of Christ and the Reform. The reception given to God's servants in past ages is the same as the reception that those today receive through whom God is sending precious rays of light. The leaders of the people today pursue the same course of action that the Jews pursued. They criticize and ply question after question and refuse to admit evidence, treating the light sent them in the very same way that the Jews treated the light Christ brought them. The Lord has been calling His people. In a most marked manner, He has revealed His divine presence. But the message and the messengers have not been received, but despised. I long that those who have greatly needed the message of divine love would hear Christ's knock at the door of the heart and let the heavenly guest enter. But at the hearts of some, Jesus has knocked in vain. In rejecting the message given at Minneapolis, men committed sin. They have committed far greater sin by retaining for years the same hatred against God's messengers, by rejecting the truth that the Holy Spirit has been urging home. By making light of the message given, they are making light of the Word of God. Every appeal rejected, every entreaty unheeded, furthers the work of heart hardening and places them in the seat of the scornful. March 1891, in a pamphlet entitled Danger in Adopting Worldly Policy in the Work of God, pages 954 and 955. But not all are following the light. Some are moving away from the safe path, which at every step is a path of humility. God has committed to His servants a message for this time, but this message does not in every particular coincide with the ideas of all the leading men, and some criticize the message and the messengers. They dare even to reject the words of reproof sent to them from God through His Holy Spirit. To accuse and criticize those whom God is using is to accuse and criticize the Lord who has sent them. All need to cultivate their religious faculties that they may have a right discernment of religious things. Some have failed to distinguish between pure gold and mere glitter, between the substance and the shadow. The prejudices and opinions that prevailed at Minneapolis are not dead by any means. The seeds sown there in some hearts are ready to spring into life and bear a like harvest. The tops have been cut down, but the roots have never been eradicated, and they still bear their unholy fruit to poison the judgment, pervert the perceptions, and blind the understanding of those with whom you connect in regard to the message and the messengers. When by thorough confession you destroy the root of bitterness, you will see light in God's light. Without this thorough work, you will never clear your souls. You need to study the Word of God with a purpose, not to confirm your own ideas, but to bring them to be trimmed, to be condemned or approved, as they are or are not in harmony with the Word of God. April 15, 1892 to J. H. Kellogg, page 977. The many cautions that in the loving kindness of the Lord have been sent to you lead me to write you now in this matter. Be careful how you take a position against Elder Wagner. Have you not the best of evidence that the Lord has been communicating light through him? I have, and the people where he has labored have been greatly blessed under his labors. July 26, 1892, in the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald article, Search the Scriptures, page 992. The rebuke of the Lord will be upon those who would be guardians of the doctrine, who would bar the way that greater light shall not come to the people. A great work is to be done, and God sees that our leading men have need of greater light, that they may unite with the messengers whom He shall send harmoniously to accomplish the work that He designs they should. The Lord has raised up messengers and endued them with His Spirit, and has said, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Let no one run the risk of interposing himself between the people and the message of heaven. The message of God will come to the people, and if there were no voice among men to give it, the very stones would cry out. I call upon every minister to seek the Lord, to put away pride, to put away strife after supremacy, and humble the heart before God. It is the coldness of heart, the unbelief of those who ought to have faith, that keeps the churches in feebleness. August 30, 1892, to Uriah Smith, page 1013. The first thing recorded in Scripture history after the fall was the persecution of Abel. And the last thing in Scripture prophecy is the persecution against those who refuse to receive the mark of the beast. We should be the last people on the earth to indulge in the slightest degree the spirit of persecution against those who are bearing the message of God to the world. This is the most terrible feature of unchristlikeness that has manifested itself among us since the Minneapolis meeting. Sometime it will be seen in its true bearing, with all the burden of woe that has resulted from it. September 1, 1892, to O.A. Olson, pages 1019 through 1025. I wish that all would see that the very same spirit which refused to accept Christ, the light that would dispel the moral darkness, is far from being extinct in this age of the world. There are those in our day who are no more ready to recognize and acknowledge light than were the people when the prophets and the apostles came with messages from God, and many rejected the message and despised the messenger. Let us beware that this spirit is not entertained by any one of us. Why do not brethren of like precious faith consider that in every age, when the Lord has sent a special message to the people, all the powers of the confederacy of evil have set at work to prevent the word of truth from coming to those who should receive it? If Satan can impress the mind and stir up the passions of those who claim to believe the truth, and thus lead them to unite with the forces of evil, he is well pleased. If once he can get them to commit themselves on the wrong side, he has laid his plans to lead them on a long journey. Through his deceptive wiles, he will cause them to act upon the same principles he adopted in his disaffection in heaven. They take step after step in the false way, until there seems to be no other course for them except to go on, believing they are right in their bitterness of feeling toward their brethren. Will the Lord's messenger bear the pressure brought against him? If so, it is because God bids him stand in his strength and vindicate the truth that he is sent of God. When a new view is presented, the question is often asked, who are its advocates? What is the position of influence of the one who would teach us, who have been students of the Bible for many years? God will send his words of warning by whom he will send. And the question to be settled is not what person is it who brings the message. This does not in any way affect the word spoken. By their fruits you shall know them. In regard to the testimony that has come to us through the Lord's messengers, we can say, we know in whom we have believed. We know that Christ is our righteousness, not alone because he is so described in the Bible, but because we have felt his transforming power in our own hearts. Should the Lord's messengers, after standing manfully for the truth for a time, fall under temptation and dishonor him who has given them their work, will that be proof that the message is not true? No, because the Bible is true. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Sin on the part of the messenger of God would cause Satan to rejoice, and those who have rejected the messenger and the message would triumph. But it would not at all clear the men who were guilty of rejecting the message of truth sent of God. September 2, 1892, to A.T. Jones, pages 1037 to 1039. Elder Jones, walk carefully before God. You are a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Be careful not to present in the paper views which you know will clash with Elder Smith, for he feels that he is in authority to control the articles which appear in the review. But if he makes an attempt to close the door, that light shall not come to the people. Then, sad as it may be, the Lord will remove him. But the Lord loves Brother Smith, and be careful that no occasion shall be given by publishing articles that he has not seen. If after he sees the articles and publishes them without seeing and speaking with the author of the article, then he has no right to put in the paper an opposite view, for he hurts the cause of God. This is no time for dissension. Press together. Seek to be a unit. There should be a breaking down of icy reserve and a mutual confidence in freedom exercised. Each must guard his words. Avoid all impressions which savor of extremes, for those who are watching for a chance will seize hold of any word strongly expressed to justify them in their feelings of calling you an extremist. The crisis is just before us. The fierce conflict of mind with mind, of principle with principle, of truth with error, which is fast approaching and which has already begun, calls for constant vigilance. This world is the great field where the last battle is to be fought. Now every man who is on the Lord's side will come up to the battle of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty, and the walls of Antichrist shall fall before the captain of the Lord's host. Then let not the chosen of God be found in opposition to the messengers and messages he sends, but let the ability and tact of every soul, by all scriptural and holy means, be employed to give greater efficiency and strength in the aggressive warfare, not against brethren, not against the Lord's anointed, but against the satanic agencies that they must meet. The Lord will speak through his messengers. They are only the human instrumentalities, possessing no grace or loveliness of their own, and are powerful and efficacious only as God, the Eternal Spirit, shall work upon human hearts. The treasure of the everlasting gospel is in earthen vessels. Paul may plant, and Apollos may water, and this is the extent of their ability. God only giveth the increase. There must be no dishonoring of God, no grieving of His Holy Spirit, by casting dishonor or reflection upon God, who selects His messengers to bear a message to the world by refusing the message of God's words from the lips of any of his servants by whom he may send it. Many souls rob themselves of great blessings and Christ of glory which should redound to him. Because they do not take heed to this, there is confusion and defection and weakness. September 19, 1892, to Uriah Smith. Pages 1043 to 1052. Some have made confession, yourself among the number. Others have made no confession, for they were too proud to do this, and they have not come to the light. They were moved at the meeting by another spirit, and they knew not that God had sent these young men, Elders Jones and Wagner, to bear a special message to them. It is quite possible that Elder Jones or Wagner may be overthrown by the temptations of the enemy. But if they should be, this would not prove that they had had no message from God or that the work that they had done was all a mistake. But should this happen, how many would take this position and enter into a fatal delusion because they are not under the control of the Spirit of God? They walk in the sparks of their own kindling and cannot distinguish between the fire they have kindled and the light which God has given, and they walk in blindness as did the Jews. Oh, that self may be subdued in each one of us who profess to believe in Jesus! Oh, that pride may be laid in the dust! Oh, that we may more fully reflect the image of Jesus! As never before, we should pray not only that laborers may be sent forth into the great harvest field, but that we may have a clear conception of truth, so that when the messengers of truth shall come, we may accept the message and respect the messenger. Oh, that darkness may not settle upon any soul, but that the illuminating Spirit of Christ shall fall upon His people. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and the glory of our Redeemer is His character. This we must behold with spiritual vision. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God cannot work effectually in the heart when it is barred out by unbelief. The message which the messengers have been proclaiming is the message to the Laodicean church. This message has not had the influence that it should have had upon the mind and heart of the believers. The true state of the church is to be presented before men, and they are to receive the word of God not as something originating with men, but as the word of God. Many have treated the message to the Laodiceans as it has come to them, as the word of man. Both message and messenger have been held in doubt by those who should have been the first to discern and act upon it as the word of God. Had they received the word of God sent to them, they would not now be in darkness. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Those who name the name of Christ should adopt Christian maxims. They should fear to ridicule the message or the messenger. Let no man say that his conversation is in heaven while he is manifestly groveling in the dust, and his thoughts and feelings are as far separated from God as the east from the west. The true Christian will fear to make light of God's message, lest he may lay a stumbling block in the way of a soul who may see and imitate his example. The church of God is to shine as a light to the world, but Jesus is the illuminator, and he is represented as moving among his people. No one shines by his own light. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the lights thereof. The message given us by A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagner is the message of God to the Laodicean church. And woe be unto anyone who professes to believe the truth and yet does not reflect to others the God-given rays. Elder Smith, had you been unprejudiced, had not reports affected you and led you to bar your heart against the entrance of what these men presented, had you, like the noble Bereans, searched the Scriptures to see if their testimony agreed with its instruction, you would have stood upon vantage ground and been far advanced in Christian experience. If you had received the truth into a good and honest heart, you would have become a living channel of light, with clear perception and sanctified imagination. Your conceptions of truth would have been exalted and your heart made joyful in God. God would have given you a testimony clear, powerful, and convincing. But the first position you took in regard to the message and the messenger has been a continual snare to you and a stumbling block. This special collection, A Most Precious Message and Its Messengers, will continue in the next issue, Volume 9, Number 3.